Good stuff. That song always reminds me of Miriam Lynn.
Yeah.
I don't know why. All right. So Tim Allen created one of the, I think, is one of the funniest sitcoms ever, Home Improvement. Any fans? Yeah. Playing a man who continually tried to not only fix but improve things around his home despite his often bumbling incompetence, which I relate to. His motto was, it just needs more power. Yeah. In one episode, he decided to give more power to his lawnmower. The opening scene has him talking to his youngest son, Mark, and he says, all right, son, this is an ordinary lawn tractor. We have to Tim Tellerize it. See, first thing we got to do is get rid of this puny 12 and a half horse. So we want to cut the lawn maintenance down considerably. So what do we need, Mark? More power. You learned well, my little one, says Tim. We're going to replace it with this. And he holds up this two huge cylinder all covered with chrome. Wow, says Mark. Darn right. Wow, Tim says. This is a twin cylinder 1600cc motorcycle engine. Normally operates at 58 horsepower. Your dad has ported it, polished it, blueprinted it, cranked it, balanced it all the way through. Huh? It's got a reverse gear? Who needs that? Four forward gears and a suicide clutch, and we can do 0 to 60 in 5.5 seconds. Of course, the closing scene of the episode is Tim hitting the gas, only to go very fast in reverse, crashing into a wall, and you just hear in the background, I'm all right. So this whole do-it-yourself DIY movement is immensely popular over the last 30 years, really. We got home improvement projects, you got self-publishing, you got projects enormous and small. And man, there's just all manner, we probably have many of your own, of trying to do a DIY product far beyond your skill set. As a new homeowner laughs. Like trying to replace a ceiling fan, right? One guy had a floor sander and he plugged it in while it was still turned on. Boom, shot through the wall. The true story. Another guy tried to repair a light switch and somehow managed to only make the light work when he pressed down the toaster. I don't know. Anybody else do a DIY projects?
Yeah.
Interesting enough, in our home, Kelly is the DIY skilled person, and she's the owner of all the tools. For example, she recently got a reward for 15 years at Mercy, hard to believe. Big catalog, all these great jewelries and clothes, and what does she pick out? A bandsaw. I have one DIY project in my life, you heard me talk about this before, a treehouse. Went online, found the easiest project I could find. It says, a normal man, a typical man, can complete this project in a weekend. Took me 3 months working every weekend. And now it's falling down. Okay, so what's all this talk about DIY? Because that's what today's topic is. We are talking about the most grandest, the most elaborate, the most significant DIY product in the history of the universe, and that is our triune God is restoring all creation, every life form, all the animal kingdoms, and humanity back to its original glory. And indeed, God is giving us more. Let's pray. Father God, as we go to these magnificent promises of your word this morning about this glory restoration project that you are engaged in and you invite us to participate in, Lord, just expand our minds, expand our hearts, enlarge our imaginations to get a grander glimpse and glory of this amazing project that you're up to, because we look around and we just see destruction and war and famine and hurricanes and human trafficking and just misery upon misery, and we look inside our souls and we just see sin and struggle and doubt and fear, and we say, where is the glory? So Lord, give us hope today, give us faith today to participate in your glory restoration project. As always, I invite you to take a moment in silent prayer, giving permission through the Holy Spirit to use his word today in your soul. Thank you, Lord, for your commitment to change us from the inside out back to our glory in Christ. All right, so our main Bible passage is from the New Testament book, Colossians. So you flip through your Bible or scroll through it on your digital device. There's no PowerPoint today, so you have to DIY your Bible use. Colossians. Little background of Colossians. Colossians was written by God through the Apostle Paul and Timothy. They wrote this letter to Christ followers in the city of Colossae, which is southwest Turkey area. Three major themes of this letter for the context of this passage. Number one, this letter is about the supremacy and glory of Christ. Number two, believers who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit are in Christ, and thus we participate with Christ in his death and his life, his resurrection, his new life, and his fullness, his glory, his power, and his authority. Yes. Number three, Christ has defeated, this is a letter of warfare, this is a letter of victory. Christ has defeated the powers of darkness through the cross. And Christians now share, you and I now share in that power and authority over the realms of darkness. Glory. Christ in you, Colossians says, is your hope of glory. Two Bible passages. This is revealed God's grand DIY project of redemption and restoration. Colossians 1. 13 through 20, and as I read it, I'm going to substitute the pronouns with the names of God because it just makes it more powerful. So here you go, Colossians 1, 13 through 20. Father God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Christ all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Christ and through Christ. And Christ is before all things. And in Christ, all things hold together. And Christ is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything Christ might be preeminent. For in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of Christ. Good news. Skipping down to Colossians 3, 1 through 4, that's what God did. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 is now our response to that. What do we do in the light of this magnificence and supremacy of Christ? If you have been raised with Christ, saved, filled with the Spirit, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above or of the kingdom of God, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not geographically, but the kingdom of God. Set your mind on the things of God's kingdom, not on the things of this earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Where's your life? Hidden with Christ, God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, second coming, then you will appear with him in glory. So we're on this new series, second one, of the image of God in us. What does it mean? Last week, we explored how our triune God's magnificent and his plans and purpose for humanity, but not just humanity, because God's plans for humans is you can't untie it, is a better word for it, with what God is doing with the earth and the animal kingdom. We are all in this together. And so God's plan for restoration has to do with humanity and the animal kingdoms and this planet and all creation. We read about that in Genesis 1. earth, this place, this physical place, is to be the physical form of God's kingdom with humanity as the royal image bearers, like a mirror, like N.T. Wright. We reflect God to the world and the world back to God. And we do that on this earth as physical beings of a physical kingdom, exercising a wise and compassionate stewardship. Earth. Heaven is the spiritual form of God's kingdom, where Yahweh is your sovereign king and the angels are the ruling class. These two kingdoms, heaven and earth, were to coincide in perfect harmony, together making up the full kingdom of God. Then where we were reminded last week in Genesis 3, how this divine plan was temporarily disrupted because of the rebellion against God within these two ruling classes, angels and humans. This angelic and human rebellion set up two kingdoms in conflict, fallen angels and fallen humans at war with one another, and both at war against God and the non-fallen angels and the human spirit, Holy Spirit and filled humans. Got the picture? So, thus, hence, it should never be any surprise that life and love are war. And so if you don't wake up each day saying, another day in battle, better put on the armor of God, better have the mindset of a soldier, you are going to be in for much shock and surprise and disappointment. So our class's passage tells us God's plan of rescue, redemption, and restoration. Glory given, glory forfeited, now today is glory restored. Verses 13 and 14, we'll go back to it again. What's God's plan? Father God has delivered us from this thing called the domain of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. There's the two kingdoms in conflict. Domain of darkness, kingdom of Christ. You're born into this world, citizen of the domain of darkness. Somewhere along the line, God rescues you out of that and makes you a kingdom, a citizen of God's kingdom. Good news. Because of the fall in Eden's garden, humans are born, here's the really bad news, because of the fall in the garden, genetically and passed down, we are born captive to do the will of Satan and citizens of the domain of darkness. So that's no cute little baby you hold in your hands. That's a fallen human in need of salvation. Are you praying for your kids and grandkids and great-grandchildren? But the day too can be rescued out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved son. That doesn't happen by birth. It happens by second birth. The only way humanity, you and I, you and me, can be restored is for God to have made a way to be rescued from this domain of darkness, the kingdom of Satan and the fallen angels, and to be remade into a citizen of God's kingdom. We cannot be rescued through humanism. We need a hero. Father God has one plan and one plan only for restoration, and is DIY by divinity through and through. Humanity itself, in its fallen state, is so darkened, so lost, so depraved, it does not have the ability to restore itself. Liberalism, humanism will never work. God had to decide to do something about our state. God had to take the initiative to do something about our fallen state. God had to make a way to do something about our fallen state. God had to make a way even for humans want to be delivered from their fallen state. Then God has to give humans the power to be delivered from their fallen state. And then God has to carry us through to the completion. You get the idea who's in control here. It's DIY by God all the way through. And the pathway for God doing so is one way and one way only. And now you can give the Sunday school answer. It is Jesus. Therefore, our Colossians passage, this is why, after talking about the introduction, it goes right into this hymn of praise of King Jesus. We're going to read it again because it's so good. Is that okay? Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By Christ, all things were created, visible and invisible, heaven and on earth, whether thrones and dominions, rulers and authorities, talking about this domain of darkness. He created them. All things are created through Christ and for Christ. Christ is before all things. In Christ, all things hold together. Christ is the head of the body of the church. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In everything, Christ might be preeminent. Is Christ preeminent in everything in your life? Again, what is God's restoration plan? For it's in Christ a little bit of God dwelled. The fullness of deity dwelled in Christ. Fully God, fully man. And through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth, on heaven, making peace. And with warring, the war of two kingdoms, making peace through the blood of Christ's cross. Christ, or God's project for restoration is Christ. God's pathway for restoration is Christ. God's promise of restoration is Christ. God's inconceivable, outrageous, unbelievable plan of humanity having the image of God fully restored, and thus, because remember, the image of God means rulership above all things. The image of God fully restored, and thus the original call restored of ruling the earthly version of God's kingdom, needed a perfect human to live a perfect life and then die a perfect death and then rise from the dead to live forever in a perfect human body. Can any of you do that? No human was found that could. So God had to become human. This is why God had to become human. Humanity needed a human Savior and a perfect Savior. He had to blend together humanity and divinity. Salvation is not a human DIY project, but a DIY project by God alone. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, Christ, they bore the image of God. They lost it. Defaced it anyway. They didn't lose it completely, remember? Christ is the only human to bear the full image of God in human form. The only way now to have God's image restored in us is to be in Christ and Christ in us. How do we claim this? How do we do this? How do we work this out? I'm glad you asked, because our passage again tells us. Let's look at it again. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Read it in the sense of, what do I do? How do I get this image of God restored? First of all, it says, if what? If you've been saved, if you've been certainly directed to Jesus, if you've been raised up with Christ, if you're not, there's no way you can have the image of God restored. If you've been raised with Christ, then what do? You keep seeking the things of the kingdom of God, because that's where Christ is. That's where he's seated on the throne of God. I remember, heaven isn't geographically separated. It's another dimension overlapping our dimension. Therefore, the throne of God is as close as your next breath. Set your mind on these things. Or your life, who you used to be, is dead. You're no longer the person you were, who was born through your mother. You are the person who is now born from above in God. Claim that, live that, breathe that. Equip that, strengthen that, through what? When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. 1 John, same thing, it echoes this, it says, when Christ returns, we will become like him, because what happens? We will see him face to face. So when Christ returns, here's some hope, you will appear with Christ. How? In shame? In like, I barely made it in this? No. You'll appear with him in glory. And so we live now setting our minds on that reality, and we bring future glory, or John Piper calls it future grace, into present reality. So So J.I. Packer, this is I use this all the time. The believer's holiness is a matter of learning to be in action who they already are in Christ. All right. Here's our part in this restoration, this glory restoration project. God's restoration project, as we've clearly seen, is divine DIY through and through. God then invites us, once that happens, once the Spirit indwells us, God then invites us and empowers us and ennobles us to participate in this project. He wants partners, not pawns. And so we have to get this right, right? This is the tension we live in. What's God's part? What's our part? Too often, too many turn salvation, being saved by Christ, and sanctification, becoming like Christ, into a personal DIY project. Right? I can do this. This is the predominant American theology. Salvation, sanctification is a do-it-yourself project. Community, optional. That is so dangerous and unbiblical. There is no transformation outside being connected to a local community. So, brothers and sisters, now that we do have more power, now that the Holy Spirit does indwell us, even though we cannot save or sanctify ourselves, we have to play a role, an enormous, undeniable, and irreplaceable role in this journey of having the image of God restored in us. Are you tracking? Are you with me? Yes? No? However, to do this restoration project of God's image restored fully in us, what we needed is what Tim Allen insisted we needed all along, which is more power. And that's exactly what God gives us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. My goodness, do you grasp that? The Spirit of God who hovered over the face of the deep and through whom God spoke into existence, all the galaxies and creation and life forms dwells in you. No more excuses saying, I'm too weak, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too nothing. You have the Spirit of God in you, no excuses for not being transformed to the image of God. The project of God restoring God's image in us and restoring this planet as God's earthly kingdom is why you take your next breath and every breath. This is why you exist. And God's pathway of glory restoration, as we see in our passage, is worship. How do we be transformed into the image of God? Worship. When you finally see the actual face of Jesus Christ, all the degree of transformation that you have accomplished with God up until that moment will be completed in a second, because you'll see the face of Jesus Christ fully. Now we get to see glimpses of it, and every glimpse we get of the face of Christ now transforms us a little more into that image. You get it? This then is the pathway of participating in God's restoration project. The more we gaze upon the face of Christ now, the more we become like him. We become like what or whom we worship. Right? We become like what or whom we worship. John Piper, beholding is becoming. More time now you spend gazing on the face of Christ through word and worship and prayer and other serving acts of self-giving love, the more you are transformed into the image of God. Let's look back at the litany passage from Corinthians. This is the foundation of how transformation happens. Now the Lord, Jesus Christ, is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, which is where? It's in you, it's in one another, it's in community, it's in worship, word, and prayer, and service. But the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, talking about Moses going up the mountain, getting the Ten Commandments, he was 40 days in God's presence, he came down and he glowed in the dark, but that glory faded. Paul's saying the glory in us no longer fades. We have unveiled face. We don't have to hide the fading image of God because it never fades in us. So we, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image of the glory of the Lord from one degree of glory to another. And yes, those degrees are painfully slow, but it's happening. So, all this put into the promises that we have as God's children. If, capital if, IF, bold, italicized, underlined. If you are continually connecting through to Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through word, worship, prayer, and service, then Father God is qualifying you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Father God has already delivered you from captivity to darkness and made you a citizen of God's kingdom right now. God has already forgiven all your past and present and future sin. Can I get a glory? Christ has already forgiven you. He's already presents you as perfect and righteous to the Father. When the Father God sees you, he sees you as Jesus. Does he love Jesus? Does he love you then? That's gospel good news. This is who you already are if you are living in an intimate relationship with the Trinity through Christ. Holiness, equipping, transformation is a relational term, not a behavioral term. If we don't shift away from this, if we don't shift away from the gospel, if we are continually deepening our understanding and application of the gospel, if we continually allow the grace, saving, healing, sanctifying, transforming, comforting grace of the gospel to saturate every part of our life, then we get to experience the full power of the cure of the curse in Christ. The Greek word for salvation or saved is sozo, S-O-Z-O, great word, do a study. Sozo is not being saved, it's not being rescued out of hell. Sozo is like shalom. It has to do with the fullness of health and wellness and wholeness of body and soul and spirit and relationships. This is what it means to be saved, to be sozoed. So the gospel is so much more than just getting a ticket out of hell and then living like the devil. No, the gospel is the good news that Father God has sent his only begotten beloved son to live the perfect life of obedience that you could not live, to die in your stead, to be risen from the dead so that you can then participate in what Christ has done. And so when God looks at you, it's just as if you were Jesus. This is so amazing. If we could just grasp this and actually live like this. You don't have to die in your sin because Christ died for your sin. The gospel is the good news. Because Christ was resurrected from the dead, you too will be resurrected. You don't have to fret and fear what humans and devils are doing to this world or to your life, because the gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ right now is reigning at the right hand of Father God, making all things right. You don't have to seek revenge now. You don't have to doubt in the goodness or the love of God, because the gospel is the good news that when Christ returns in a bodily form to this earth, he will bring to justice every single act of wickedness and injustice ever committed. Can you not long for that day? And he'll remove from this earth. He doesn't remove us from the earth. There's no rapture getting off here. He removes, the only rapture is the evil ones and the evildoers from this earth, so it become once again the kingdom of God. Gospel is the good news. When Christ returns, he'll set up this righteous and just kingdom with you and I ruling over the nations. You don't have to worry about your future. You don't have to grieve about loved ones who have died in the way that those who have no hope grieves. Why? Because your future is to be a citizen on Christ's new earth kingdom, reunited with every loved one who died in Christ alone. If you have loved ones who are not living in Christ alone, participate with God in rescuing their souls before it's too late, so that you can be reunited with them. There's an urgency to this. The days of Christ's return are being speeded up. The day when the door of grace is slammed shut is coming soon. There's an urgency to this. No time for playing. There's no time for just idle recreation. There are people outside our doors on the verge of eternal death and hell, and you carry the gospel message in your soul and on your lips and in your life. There's an urgency to this. You don't have to strive to get everything possibly right now. Stop striving and start resting in grace. You don't have to wonder if God loves you or accepts you or delights in you, because the gospel is good news. If God the Father has already given us his best, Jesus, this is the how much more argument of the New Testament. If he's already given us Jesus, everything else is like nothing. Oh yeah, you want health, you want wellness, you want transformation, sure, I already gave you Jesus. Gospel, the good news is that you're no longer what you were born into. You're no longer in the line of Adam when you were rescued out of that darkness, that kingdom of darkness, something that I know, you know, on March 26th in 1986, I was rescued out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved son. So I know what it's like to spend decades serving the devil and then decades serving the Lord. You've been rescued out of that. Who I used to be, who you used to be in Adam is no longer true of you. You are now in the line of Jesus Christ, and you have royal blood flowing through your veins. You believe that? Christ is making all things new. You used to be, once upon a time, lost in your sin and your shame and your sorrow, but now you're a beloved, adopted, royal, delighted in son or daughter of the Most High God. Once upon a time, you were an alcoholic, say, but now you are a free, forgiven, beloved child of God. Once upon a time, maybe you were, we all are in some way, an addict, but now you can live in the glorious freedom of the children of God. Once upon a time, you were a victim of sexual abuse, but now you are a pure bride of Christ. Once upon a time, you were captive to life-controlling, self and other destructive attitudes and behaviors, but now you are a God sung over Trinity, danced with royal prince and princess of the King of Kings. And this is God's grand plan of rescue, redemption, and restoration of glory. Father, we sit here and we so know our junk that all these magnificent promises seem kind of by and pie in the sky. And so, Lord, I'm praying for myself. I'm praying for anyone else that feels that same way, that the inescapable, unstoppable, glorious truths that were proclaimed today out of your word, that you are in a glory restoration project in and through us, that we would just carry a weight of glory, as it says in Corinthians, a weight in our soul that actually changes the way we see ourselves, changes the way we think and act and feel and speak and treat one another as fellow image bearers. And drives us with an urgency that is just unquenchable to share this amazing gospel wherever you have strategically placed us, in our neighborhoods, in our family systems, in our schools, and in our businesses. We're not there by accident. We're there by divine design. Tell this, not to be ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for transformation and hope. Empower us, equip us, ennoble us, inflame us to be bearers of the gospel. Please take a minute to pray in response to God's word and for their projected prayer requests.